You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
Joining us from the capital of Aotearoa, New Zealand, Te Whakanui Ātara. They've just released a new album, which is super exciting. I think it's their third or their fourth. We'll clear that up in a moment. But we have Vera Allen on the line to talk about their latest record, Heaven Knows What Time. Good morning to you, Vera. How are we doing?
Hello?
Hello.
Hey.
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 How are you?
Just when you were like, we have Vera Allen on the
Wait, what happened? The Zoom crash out?
Yeah.
Ah, classic.
I'm here, though. Hey.
Here in spirit. Are you joining us from Wellington?
No, I'm in Wales.
Oh, wow. You're in Wales?
Yeah.
Whoa. Oh, my goodness. Are you paying tribute to your ancestors?
I am indeed.
Nice. How's that going?
Yeah. Great. I love it here. It's a beautiful country. Reminds me of New Zealand, actually. Very green, lots of sheep.
Awesome. I actually had a question about your ancestors, because a couple of years ago at the Tates, you thanked them for the decisions they made, which brought them to New Zealand, which brought you to where you were on the Tate stage 2 years ago, and you thanked your Polish and Welsh ancestors. I have Polish ancestors who came out to Southland to go build the railway there. What did your ancestors come out to New Zealand for?
Oh, they were, unfortunately, kind of forced here after World War II.
Oh, no.
So they came to New Zealand to seek refuge.
As refugees, right. Okay. Well, it's probably a better place than any to come and seek refuge.
Yeah, it was, they had, my mum has 9 brothers and sisters, so it was a very...
Whoa.
It was a crazy house.
Yeah. Holy heck, yeah. Big family.
Yeah.
Man, I have a question from one of our radio hosts. Maddie Barnes asks, where do you get your clothes?
Aw, that's really sweet. Honestly, I secondhand. I'm big on secondhand shopping and hand-me-downs. And if I'm ever like splurging, usually I get stuff from Ziggurat in Wellington.
Nice. Wellington is full of good little boutiques, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It's annoying.
I just like to look, you know. I'm always looking for show clothes, so whenever I'm looking around, I'm like, I don't like to spend too much money, but if, you know...
Oh, if there's an occasion.
It's worth it.
You know,
yeah,
if you're going to go dripped out to the AMAs, you got to get some good. On the cover of this record, you're praying with your eyes open, and I was curious as to what you might be praying for when you look at that image. What do you think?
I think there's a little tear in my eye.
Yeah.
partly from the wind. Not going to lie. Well, I suppose the record is a lot about succumbing to some kind of higher power, in the sense of just acknowledging that you don't really have control over things in the way that you would hope. So it's symbolic, I suppose, of the record and me looking up to the sky and perhaps asking the question of, like, what next? Heaven knows.
True. It seems like...
Sometimes you just have to humble yourself and,
You mentioned control there, and that's fascinating, because on social media, you posted a video of you with a book full of rules, full of do's and don'ts, and a few of them were quite fascinating to me. In the yeses column, I think I saw hypno and silence, and then in the noes column, I thought YouTube was quite a fascinating rule not to live by. How have these rules helped with routine setting and sort of maintaining a sense of control?
Yeah, well, that was for my writing residency, where I demoed and wrote all of this album.
In Greytown.
A couple of years ago now, yeah. And so I needed to, because I was in the house alone, and it's a crazy thing for someone to get to actually give you what you want, which is basically a block of time by yourself where you can create. Like, it's any creative's dream to have that space and time. So I was really accountable to myself, so I had to do that. Like, I had to have rules, because otherwise I could, you know, I could have just wasted the time, and I just didn't want to do that. So,
So hypno, is that short for hypnotherapy?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm so curious.
You know, of course. I actually have like half a diploma in hypnotherapy, which I need to finish, but I'm really interested in it, and it helped me a lot with my like immuno disorder that I got diagnosed with a few years ago, and it just helps me calm down and relax, and it has insane benefits. I would really, really recommend that everybody look into it if they have anything they want to work on.
My mum lives next to a hypnotherapist, and on the side of the car, it's the outside of an apple, and then on the inside, the flesh is an orange. So that's pretty deep. It's pretty deep, bro. You were candid on social media that you had nothing but half-baked ideas and a huge fear that you would fail when you started this new record. Now, I heard this very, very good metaphor for writers who are stuck looking at a blank page. They're scared that it's blank, but really, if it's blank, it's an opportunity to fill it with something. Do you relate to that analogy, or is the prospect of starting something just quite terrifying?
Yeah, I think it was something about, again, having that responsibility of just the space and time, and knowing that it was completely up to me whether I created something amazing in that time or whether I just withered away and wasted it. And so I suppose like I felt not only like a duty, but sort of a foreboding sense of fear around that. I think everyone can relate to that feeling sometimes when you have some massive task ahead of you that you just feel like, I don't even know who put me in charge of completing this. So I get that a lot. I'm pretty like, I have a lot of self-doubt and fear. And this album was really, really, really withered. I don't know what the word is.
Riddled?
Full of it. Full of that for me, like every step of the way. It was full of so much doubt, and I really just want to just shout out my friends that got me through every phase where I nearly just was like, oh, it's terrible, I'm not putting it out, or, you know, I had all sorts of wacky ideas about it. So yeah, it's good to have friends through those kind of times.
But it's also a huge exercise in self-trust, and it seems like it's paid off because not only does the record sound great, but as we mentioned before, you established pretty strict rules for making sure this thing got as good as it could be. And I think that, yeah, again, you definitely need to give yourself some credit.
Thank you.
Sonically, it's a departure from your last project, Heartbreak for Jetlag, which I think came out 3 years ago, which sounds a bit colder, a bit more dejected and forlorn. There's definitely a lot of sadness on this new album, but it's got more moving parts when it comes to the music side of things. Is it a sign that you're in a better place, or that you're like just challenging yourself harder to produce more stuff?
I think with this album, I was really aware of, like, you know, I toured the last album a lot, which was Ideal Home Noise, and then after that I did the EP Heartbreak for Jetlag. And I think touring a lot made me really aware of, you know, being in a band and being on stage, and I wanted to create an album that was, like, really fun to play and also that worked with, like, a 4 or 5 piece band kind of thing. So I wrote with that in mind. Definitely. And yeah, it is fun. It's lighter. I don't think anything's linear. I don't think, especially if you're someone who struggles with depression and things like that, I don't think it's ever like, it doesn't ever go, but it's just like how you manage it in different points. And I think with this album, there's like a lot of making fun of myself and self-deprecation and lightness and levity as well. Yeah.
Well, speaking of one depressing thing, walking in Vegas is a real standout here. There's lots of imagery of binge drinking, wanting to escape yourself, and there's a great recurring line in the land of zombies: there's no such thing as time. You've said it's an exploration of the artifice of the entertainment industry, and that Las Vegas is a symbol for the blurred reality that we live in. What brought you out to Las Vegas originally, and do you see traces of it in Aotearoa, New Zealand?
Really interesting. So first of all, I have a music video out for this song today, so I just want to promote that. It was my brother directed it and me and him edited it, and it's super experimental and fun, and hope you enjoy it. Secondly, I went out to Vegas. I lived in America in my early 20s, and
went to UCLA. Visiting.
That's right, and I went visiting Vegas to go visit some of my friends' relatives at the time. And I found it so interesting because, for example, when you're inside and you're like in one of the casinos, they block all of the light from getting in the casino, so you don't know what time it is. And there's some references to that in the song. And then they have a big buffet. So you go in and at whatever hour, and you don't know what time it is when you leave, you know, it's just they provide everything with you within this kind of artificial dome so that you don't have a necessity to leave. And I think that that's a real symbol for, like, not only music in the industry, but also just for kind of where things are going at the moment. Where things are, where things feel, which is like, here's everything you ever need. Why would you need to leave? And you're like, but there's a beautiful sun outside, and like, I have things to say. I'm like a person. I have creativity. And so anyway, there's a lot there. Yeah, as in New Zealand, in terms of, I think we're all kind of faking it to some degree, and just in terms of, like, you kind of have to as an artist, you know, you're presenting something that you don't even understand yourself, really. So there's always a level of, like, fronting something, even if you don't have an awareness of that. So it's kind of like battling with that feeling inside yourself as well as observing it in the outside world.
You mentioned before about people, you know, everything you need is inside your house. And that reminds me of Bo Burnham's special Inside, where he like cynically jokes that, you know, the outside world is just mined for content, but inside is your actual ecosystem, which is horrible to think about, but it seems to be the case. It's super exciting this record is out. Another really, really exciting thing that's happening is you've got a tour. We can announce, we can talk about it. You are playing in Auckland, Dunedin on the 31st of July. Super awesome. Is that after or before your tour with Aldous over in the EU and UK?
After.
Cool.
Yep.
Cool. Yep. Have you got all the travel arrangements made for that tour with Aldous?
Oh, God. I'm doing my best. Doing my best. Nice.
Well, thank you for coming on to you know, kick off New Zealand Music Month here on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi with this lovely chat about your new record, Heaven Knows What Time. Do you have any final thoughts or opinions for our listeners out there?
Thank you so much. Come to the show and listen to the record lots so that we can all experience it together and sing along and things like that. I quite like putting out an album a little bit before touring so that people have time to sit with it. And, really curious to hear how everyone finds it. But, drink water.
Amen to that. Thank you so much. Appreciate your time. Cheers. All right, folks, that was Vera Allen. We're talking to Vera about their new record, Heaven Knows What Time, which is out wherever you find your music. We're going to play the track Hunger Is Just a Memory, and then we'll have our weather and road condition roundup for y'all. Here is Vera Allen with Hunger Is Just a Memory. You're listening to The One, Ka Kite.
That was a Radio 1 91FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.